Hey everyone, welcome to Gamercade Podcast.
You did that at the exact time it went live.
You did that.
I'm your host.
Perfectly.
It was like perfect.
Chris Gillette.
He's no longer the host here. I am offended.
Oh.
Anyways.
Hey everyone.
What's going on, guys? Ignore her for right now. What's going on, guys? This is episode 56 of the GCN's Gamecast. I am your host, Dallas. I'm here with Brett and Julia.
Hello.
Probably messing with the cat right now, so forgive her.
The cat's in my way.
The cat's in the bag. So what's going on, guys? How's your week been?
Busy. Great. How's your week been?
Somewhat busy, but not really. Been free to play some things this week. How about you guys?
Oh, yes.
No Man's Definitely Sky.
No Man's Sky, Julia? What else? Anything? Or how you actually... I heard from Brett last week. How was your experience in No Man's Sky so far?
I like it. It's not what I expected, but I like it.
What'd you expect it to be?
I don't really know what I expected. I expected there to be more fighting, but I'm okay with it, with, you know, rarely having to come in contact with things that want to kill me.
I was going to say, if you want fighting, I can give you the address of a star system that seems to be populated when... Oh, sorry, jeez.
No, keep going.
Give you the address of a star system that seems to be populated with nothing but pirates, because every time I break orbit from a planet, I'm attacked by three freaking ships.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I actually I came across pirates today, but they killed me, so I didn't go back into space.
God, but, I'm scared.
Yeah. No, it's it reminds me a lot of Red Faction, which I like, because you can break everything.
No, destructible environments.
Yeah. The only thing I didn't like is that there's really no help. Like, I didn't know that you were supposed to analyze everything. And I didn't know there was a sprint button until about 12 hours after I was playing. I know, it's terrible. But it's a lot of fun. I really like it. Just a lot of interesting creatures. That's really all I've played since it came out. I've really been enjoying it.
Just been kind of stuck on it. No Minecraft, then? Surprisingly? Or has this filled that void?
No. It has filled the void, because it is, I mean, you don't really build anything, but you get to destroy stuff, and it's really chill, so.
Actually, you do a lot of building. You have to do a lot of building for the stuff for your ships and everything.
Ugh, I hate that part.
At least I was. But yeah, keep in mind, it's like Minecraft in space.
Yeah, I'd compare it more to Red Faction, but it is, I do like it. They said they were going to have like a base building DLC or something later on, maybe patch, so I hope that comes along.
It could be possible, like future DLC or something like that, I would see.
Yeah, that's
cool.
About it.
One interview with the developers, they said that one of the things that they were looking at was in the future a way to make it more multiplayer, to make it easier for people to find each other and connect.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to come across people. But
there's been...
Not like rare, Destiny.
Yeah, there's been very, very rare moments where people have said that they've ran into things that somebody else had already discovered. And on the first day, there were like supposed to be two people in the same location at the same time, but they couldn't see each other because of issues with the server. But they would be heading towards something that had been undiscovered, and before they could get there, it would be discovered by somebody else. So that's just kind of interesting concept to have
so
happen.
So if it's discovered by somebody else, does it tell you that?
Yeah. When you get to something that's already been found by somebody else, it'll tell you discovered by so-and-so and when.
Really? Okay,
will it
I haven't come across that yet.
Will it also give it the names if they renamed it?
Yes, it will.
Nice.
So
I want to
so
name everything on my planet poop.
You're not the first one. There's actually a planet out there named Poopland.
I know. I can't wait to find it. I hope it's all brown.
It'd be a shame if it wasn't.
I know.
I was naming green? My stuff after, like, geeky things. Like, I named one planet Miranda, which is, you know, after the planet that they go to in Serenity. You know, stuff like that.
I haven't renamed any stuff. I've just been exploring.
As I posted up to you, Chiron Beta Prime, the first planet I was on, which is from a song by, oh my God, I can't remember. Thank you. His name didn't come to mind. Which is like an awesome song. So
he's the one who wrote Still Alive for Portal.
Nice.
Yep. And Once You Gone.
Yeah.
For Portal 2. RE Your Brains from Left 4 Dead 2.
Yeah, he writes all the geeky stuff.
So
what about you, Brett? What have you been playing this week?
My buddies and I hooked up for a little bit and did some Prison of Elders. And
nice. Dusty. I saw you posted some clips for that.
Then I really got into playing through the rest of the season, the 2017 season for MLB The Show, which was awesome because I broke the all-time home run record, broke the all-time RBI record, was offered a pretty much a $60 million contract for 6 years, so that was nice. That was a lot of fun to get into. Plus, the piece de resistance of the whole thing is MLB The Show predicts the Royals beat the Dodgers in the 2017 World Series.
That would be amazing.
So, but unfortunately, if they keep going with what was shown there, they also predict that Alcides Escobar will be playing for the Angels in 2018 because I've ran into him in spring training.
Shit.
Yeah, I like the MLB games because they're realistic, but at the same time, it makes me sad because they just pick players to trade. I think they traded Kane and Hosmer.
I don't think that they randomly pick them to trade. I think they know when their contracts are up, and they go through and, you know, kind of do some guesstimations, of course. But I think it's all about that because we are looking at, you know, in the next 3 years, pretty much everybody that's a Royal will be
except
up.
Except Salvi. Salvi's forever.
But the problem is you know, yeah, we wouldn't have the money to be able to keep them all because they've all got a World Series under their belt. So
yeah,
which gotta increases pay them up. Their exactly. So,
but we'll anyhow,
that's pretty much what I played this week. That was about the only two things really. Looking at getting No Man's Sky here soon, so I could keep playing that.
Did you like borrow it from a friend or something when you played it before?
I had rented it.
Oh, you rented it. Okay.
We have a family video here in town, so $8 to rent it for five days. So
nice. Actually, funny you say that. I actually heard there's actually still a Blockbuster up and running in Oregon or something like that.
Really?
I was like, that's surprising. Yeah. It came out. My buddy was talking about it yesterday. I was like, "I'm gonna go all. Let's go all the way road trip."
Because yeah, that's got to be somebody who's bought the rights to the name and has just got their own little mom and pop's shop open.
Something. That's what I'm thinking exactly.
Because like, I don't even think the corporation exists anymore.
Yeah, I know, right? That's what I was thinking. I was like, "How is there still one out there?" That's crazy.
Everything they tried to rip off and. Been done better by somebody else, so.
Yeah, I know. Like Netflix getting into gaming and then Gamefly and all that stuff. Put them right out of business. Mm-hmm. Not to mention the consoles getting digital releases and stuff like that. That kind of hurt them. Well, then,
yeah, but then I also like, you know, they tried to do the Netflix send to your door kind of thing, and they tried to do the Redbox kiosk kind of thing, and all of that had already been done and being done better, so.
Much cheaper and everything like that.
Yep.
I will say it is thanks to GameStop that I got a $5 copy of Skyrim. So
there you go.
Let's see. Me, I played some more of I Am Setsuna this week. Got some, found some good grindy spots in there to where I can get some levels. Actually got like 10 levels off of one enemy just because you could farm him forever. And the funny thing, that game is broken when it comes to getting XP out of some enemies. Because I'm in an area where you can kill like a group of enemies that are like, you pretty much get like 69 XP from them. Then you go and find this one enemy that only has like 35 hit points of health. You only have to hit it once and it's dead. But it's a rare enemy, and he gives you 1,000. And you can just farm him constantly. So I'm just in there just like gaining a level like almost every time I kill him until I get to like 27. Then it's like every 2-3 times I kill him. And I'm just like, Jesus, all right, I'm going to farm this for a little bit. I was like,
that's my schedule for the next week.
Yeah, I was like, this is broken. But that game is great. Like, if you ever want to get into a good JRPG style type of game, that game is probably the one to do it. It's beautiful to look at. Artwork's done really well. I love the character models and stuff in it. It's really, really good. It's got a really good story to it so far, too.
Very cool.
So definitely you should give that a shot if you want something to play on PS4. Or a Vita if you have it. I know Chris was talking about getting it on a Vita.
I am getting a Vita just so I can have the ability to play my PlayStation 4 upstairs while laying in bed.
Oh, yeah. And you lied, Brett.
What's up?
That's not all you played, because I played the Titanfall 2 beta.
Oh, that's right. Wow. I mean, how'd I forget Titanfall 2 beta?
Just because it wasn't important. Or pre-alpha test or whatever. My ass. Well, game comes out in October. How's that an alpha?
Actually, I was thinking about that one, and I'm thinking that they may have been using the old alpha engine in order to do the test, just to have the test for the server end. You know, so they're not really pumping every, you know, they're not giving us the full-on beta yet, but...
Like, I don't know if it's actually still running right now, but I know they did say it was supposed to go over the weekend and next weekend.
Right, so, and it shut down last night at about 9 o'clock.
Okay, cool, thanks. Thanks for the confirmation.
No problem. It was kind of funny because I was on there right before it shut down, and it was like ghost town. There were only like a couple of people on each map, and it was just like, wow. Everybody bailed early. But I will say that I had a couple of really cool Titanfall moments in there. There was and some things that were not so cool. One of the things that was not so cool is I was having to evac, and one of the guys from the other team was patrolling the landing zone in his Titan, and I was running along behind his Titan. He never looked down when he would turn around, so I was just running along right behind his Titan. And as the ship got there, I climbed his Titan and jumped off, and I was going to use my grapple hook to get a hold of the ship and pull myself to the ship. The grapple hook doesn't attach to the ship.
It does, actually. It's just iffy on where you hit it. Because the ship was escaping because I got there late. And I grappled it. I was like, no! I just grappled it, and it pulled me for a second, and then it just went into, like, speed mode, took off, and then my cord snapped. I was like, aw, and I just fell down. I was like, damn it. I think it's just, like, in certain spots. I don't know. It may just be touchy.
I know I was in within range, and I jumped off and flung it out, and it was like a Wile E. Coyote moment that, you know, you can almost see my guy's legs go, da-da-da!
He just looks at the camera, waves, and it just drops.
And then I got stepped on by a Titan. But then another one of the good moments I had was I was stealing the battery from a Titan, and the guy jumped out to attack me. I jumped out to go after him, but he immediately attached his grapple hook to his Titan to pull himself to it. Mm-hmm. But he intersected my path on the way there, and I was on the way down. I hit the melee button and meleed him off of his grapple hook as he was pulling himself to the Titan.
Nice.
Which was, you know, just like, whoops, nope, sorry, you don't get that anymore.
That's awesome.
But
I do like the fact that you can take the batteries out and give them to like your teammates and stuff like that, them Titans. But I just wish people would actually listen, because it's like, Why have the option to hit X and say, I got a battery. Hey, I got a battery. And they're just sitting there riding that person's Titan's back. And they're just like, hey, man, get off so I can get this battery. Damn it. They just don't listen. They're like, ah, son of a bitch.
But no, I did a couple of times get it and get one, get them swapped out, though.
Did you?
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Then you jump back on their back after taking the battery out, throw a grenade in there.
Yep.
It's pretty cool. I like the way they did that. I was having a lot of fun using the Kraber, the sniper. I didn't think I would, but I was actually having a lot of fun with it. And not on the city-oriented map, but the other one that was more open, like all open field. On that map, I was sitting on top of one of the buildings and watching everyone go through, and I was just sniping anyone I could get. And I could see in this little window, one of my guys was in there, and I was watching over him because I saw him shooting. Someone snuck up behind him and started getting ready to assassinate, and they had him in a headlock and stuff, getting ready to snap his neck. I sniped the guy in the arm, and it killed him. The guy, like, got loose, and he was just, like, looking, like, okay, and then he just started running. I was like, I saved you, man, I saved you! That's so cool. But no, other than just the unfortunate of just getting spawn killed and spawn camped in certain maps, well, in the maps. Can't say certain, because there's only two. But, other than that, I mean, the gameplay's smooth. They took some stuff away from Titanfall 1, but it, I don't think it's going to be to where it's really going to affect it that much. No. I will say I am looking forward to the campaign of this game, just because I think it'll be a little bit more... It'll pull you in a little bit more than the multiplayer probably would, just because the multiplayer, let's face it, is pretty hectic. It's just all kinds of stuff going down. So, and plus, I want to know a little bit more about the whole connection with the Titan thing. That kind of seemed really interesting when it showed it off in the trailers.
Right.
And they should have had a story to begin with.
Well, it did.
Campaign.
It did have a story, but you had to learn it while in the middle of multiplayer combat, which is not the best time to be listening to somebody tell you about the storyline.
Yeah.
I would say another thing on that is I was really impressed with the attitudes that the Titans had. You know, it was kind of cool the way they had that set up, to where each of them felt a little bit more personable than they used to feel at the beginning of Titanfall 1. And I think they added some stuff to Titanfall 1 to where you could do other personalities on it. But it's kind of interesting. I always thought it was strange how they had robots that were obviously sentient and were given rank in the military, and but their Titans were completely, you know, just dumb AI. You know, and it's like, well, why wouldn't you install the program that you got running these small robots into that guy?
Yeah.
You know? And so it's obvious that's what they've decided to do on this. So
it's an interesting take, and I'm kind of really interested to see where they go with it, so looking forward to the actual release so we can get our hands on that story and learn some more.
Agreed.
Especially since it's a legit story now, so that'd be cool.
Agreed, 100%. I think that's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Let's see, other than the beta and I Am Setsuna, the only other thing I've really played this week is Black Ops, just play more zombies. We had a really good zombie run last night. We're just doing the one of the older maps, Eisendrock. And it's just me and my buddy Tofu playing by ourselves. We're trying to complete the Easter egg. We got actually like 75% through the Easter egg, and then he forgot what to do next. So we're just like, oh, well, we're just going to kill till we drop then. So, it was pretty fun. But other than that, that's pretty much all I've played. That's pretty much all I've played this week. Just a lot of I Am Setsuna, really. Game's too fun.
I think for next weekend, I'm going to play the Titanfall 2 beta on my Xbox. This weekend, I played it all on the PlayStation. So
I played mostly on PlayStation, but I did play on Xbox as well. From what I got from both of them, PlayStation's ran a little bit smoother. It wasn't really that much of a big of a change. There's a few like frame drops in the Xbox version, but it was nothing really to where it like affected gameplay or nothing.
Did you notice that the Xbox version was 5 gigabytes larger than the PlayStation version?
I didn't, because I just clicked on it and just didn't even really mess with it after that. I just clicked on it and
PlayStation was like 12. Yeah, PlayStation was like 12 gigs, and the Xbox One version was 17.
No, I didn't notice that.
It's like, what the hell? Why do we need? Yeah, why do we need 5 gigabytes more for the Xbox? So,
I'll have to look into that, see if there's any like news on why that was. That's interesting. I didn't like how Xbox had some issues with inviting friends. You couldn't invite friends at all. You really couldn't.
Oh.
Like, you would click it, and it would do nothing. It just did nothing at all. You had to like go and invite the server to a game. And you just had to, by chance, it popped up on your friend's stuff, and they would have to click it. That's pretty much the only way you could invite anyone on Xbox at the time.
That'd be so annoying.
It kind of was, but we still managed to get in a few games together, so it wasn't that bad. Random people don't really tend to join your game if they don't really know you that well. We still had like a few people join, though, so it wasn't too bad.
Did you notice it in the quality of the your opponents? Between the Xbox and the PlayStation?
I noticed that in PlayStation, my opponents would teabag a lot.
I didn't see any of that.
So I guess Xbox is a little bit more professional about things. I don't know. That's about it.
Me and a friend just hypothesized. We were playing, and it had been a while since we'd played, and we were doing really good. And it's like, I shouldn't be doing this good this early. And he brought up the fact, it's like, you and I both played on the Xbox. Now we're playing on PlayStation, and a lot of these people have never played before. So I didn't know if that had anything to do with it.
It definitely could. Not to mention, I mean, I wouldn't really say it's too much because, it's not that much different from, like, Call of Duty and how Call of Duty's been doing their stuff lately with the whole little jump pack and everything they've had in Black Ops and Advanced Warfare. They're pretty much trying to take Titanfall's page and do the whole wall running stuff and stuff along those lines. But so they probably have some experience. It's just Titanfall's wall running is a little different, and I can still see people struggling with that when it comes time to like make it to the ship, for instance. They can't get it high enough to get up there if they don't have the grappling hook. But that definitely could be an edge you guys had on a lot of the people on PlayStation. Definitely. Just because you're more used to how the Titans and everything work.
Alrighty then.
The Titans, I didn't really care for the Scorcher too much. I mean, he's alright, but it didn't really seem like it did enough damage like the Ion could. The Ion seemed to do a lot more damage.
But Ion was also a lot more fragile.
Very, yeah. Because it seemed like the Scorcher kind of took the resemblance of the Ogre Titan from the old one.
Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that in the main one we get a little bit better version of how we could set up the guns and stuff. Because I had a really... I can't remember what the light, fast Titan was in the original, but I had Strider. That one. Yeah, the Strider with the shoulder-mounted missile launcher and the quad launcher set up to fire one missile at a time, and the extra boost and using the boosts and all of that. I went toe-to-toe with two Atlases before and just blew them both away. Just because you're able to skate in and around them and just keep...
Yeah, firing. The maneuverability of the Strider was ridiculous.
So, I'm hoping that they do that because none of these felt like they had nearly that maneuverability.
For real. Like, you had to like even use like a perk just to get like an extra boost.
Mm-hmm.
These weren't like little Titans either, so...
Yeah, exactly. I'm hoping those are back.
I think the Ronin will be like the closest to what you're talking about. That's the one with the sword, though. I'm not sure like how well you'll be able to switch their gear and their weapons and such, since they're actually titled like what they're pretty much going to be mainly doing, like Scorcher and whatnot. But
right,
we'll just have to wait and see, man. Julia, we know what they got our hands on. Yeah, you're muted, by the way, Julia. If you didn't know,
there's a okay.
Mute. There you go.
My Google Hangouts like dropped out for a few.
Yeah, I noticed so you got kicked out there.
It was all messed up. I think it's my phone.
Yeah, if no one... Talking. Yeah, we're just talking Titanfall. It's all good.
I never played the first one. I wish I would have.
It's more multiplayer-based, so the second one might be more for you since there's more of like a campaign and stuff like that for you to like get more like involved in the story and stuff like that. So might be a good chance for you to pick up on. You didn't really miss anything from the first one other than, you know, multi. So.
Yeah, it was all multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of broad strokes of the story.
Yeah, very. But yeah, if that's all you guys played this week, we can move on to some topics.
Sounds like a blast.
Topics!
Okay. Keeping into the same, you know, pretty much the same subject as last week's revivals with THQ being brought back from the dead. Something else has been brought back from the dead, and it is the PT-inspired horror game, Allison Road. Now, this is big news for me, and I know, Chris, if you're listening, this is big news for you, us horror genre lovers. This game has been a godsend. Whenever PT got canceled, this game was pretty much started being casted in development, and it's pretty much almost the same, pretty much the same concept as how PT was pretty much based, and this is pretty much the predecessor of what that would have been, and God, am I happy that this game is back in development. I mean, sadly, the company that was working on it before, Lilith Limited, or something like that, they just didn't explain why they canceled the game or why they stopped, but now the creator, Christian Kessler, he's brought out the news of saying that the game is back, and it's with a new studio called Far From Home. So, he's actually going to be working on this game by himself right now, because most of the hard stuff that was the game needed, like mechanics and such, was already done. So he's actually able to freely work on it right now by himself, and if he needs any help with changing said game mechanics or new mechanics or anything like that being added, he will ask for help from certain people if needed. So there's no game, there's not like release date window or anything for it yet. It just is just keep an open mind and just be patient, and he'll give you a date whenever he can.
It's just know it's still alive.
It's still alive, and that's good enough for me. I mean, I've waited 10, 12 years for games before, and I can do it again. That's okay. And I'm just glad that the game is actually, you know, still alive. It's still there, because that game was, it looked too good to, like, not be out. I can't wait for that game to come out. I don't know if you guys seen anything on it, but if you haven't, you need to.
I've seen some stuff on it, but we've had a conversation about how I feel about horror games, and so, yeah.
I'm just a big buff when it comes to stuff like that. I don't like movies that are horror-based just because they're boring to me. They're very predictable, so whenever I get to immerse myself in the situation and actually make the decisions and actually experience it for myself, I just get sucked right in. Always love Silent Hill and stuff like that, so it really connects with me.
So, you see, but, I think I'm the exact opposite. I need that level of disconnect in a horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
But being in control and being part of the runaround and everything, it's just, I don't feel like dying today, thank you very much.
Did you ever get into, like, Dead Space or anything?
Wait.
I tried, but...
Brett, did you just say you're not a fan of horror games?
I am not a fan of horror games.
You're not a fan?
I am not.
Okay, me neither.
And yes, I
don't like being chased around.
I did try to play Dead Space, but some of the stuff in there was just too penultimately creepy. And I'm like, no, can't do this.
Did you make it far enough to get to the, regenerating monster?
Was that the big dude that chases you around in circles?
He'll chase you like over and over. You can dismember him all you want. He'll just keep just bubbling up and going back together. I was like, oh god, come after you.
Yeah, you run out of ammo and everything.
You just can't shoot him. You're meant to run, is all. You got to lure him into that scorching pod or whatever.
Oh, creepy stuff. I just like being chased.
I don't know why. Maybe it's like a sick, twisted spot in my brain or something like that. I just love that kind of stuff.
I wish I did. I wish I would. I was part of the horror fan club, but I just...
A lot of those horror games have really, really good, like, immersive stories and stuff like that. A lot of them are really, really well detailed.
My mind runs wild, and I can't stop it sometimes.
Nope.
I know, it sounds stupid.
It doesn't sound stupid at all. It's exactly my issue.
I psyched myself out for walking into a dark room.
Exactly. Yep, I have done the same thing.
I'm a child.
No. No, I mean, there's some of that primal fear exists, and if you play with it, then it's going to be there no matter what. And so, yeah, I have that same thing, you know. If I'm at home alone after seeing something like that, you can bet that anywhere I've been, there's a trail of light. Because lights will be all left on as I go downstairs to get something and go back upstairs.
You need to get
turn the lights off, so I'm out of the room.
Touch lights. You can just touch and then go off them old school ones. You can attach on the walls. Mm-hmm. Just put them all follow your walls to your path. You just turn them on, and when you're walking by, turn them off. That's like the old.
It doesn't help that people are like always knocking on my door too.
That's creepy.
Like.
Yeah.
Well, I just had the neighbor knock on my door to give me my laser pointer back. And I told him I was going to be busy at 7:30. But he's 12 and doesn't think about anything. He just...
No, he just wanted to be in. He wanted to be on the podcast. He's like, if
tell
I
him
show
to put it in your mailbox.
No, he knocked on the door and I was like, camo shorts, it's Will. So he gave me my laser pointer.
Yeah, Allison Rhodes back in development. Good news for us horror lovers. What else do you guys...
Summon thy brown pants.
Summon thy brown pants. You will need them.
I have... Kick in with this one. There are rumors floating around that in addition to the PlayStation 4K version, that there is going to be a PlayStation Slim. This is actually being reported by USA Today and several other reputable sources that are talking about this. It's basically going to be just exactly a PlayStation 4, but with a slimmer design and a cheaper price tag. There's supposed to be a press conference in New York on September 7th when they're supposed to reveal that and the PS4 that we all know and love as Neo. And
possibly a new controller.
Oh. A new controller?
At the September. Yeah. They're talking about a new controller design at the September 7th conference. For the Slim.
Oh,
yeah. I don't know about the Neo, but for the Slim.
What's new about it?
They just said that apparently the D-pad is gray. And it has a light... Shit, I forgot. It has the light behind the touchpad thing.
No, the indicator.
Ooh. Yeah, that's the only thing they said so far, but I'm hoping there's more than just a color change, if they're really going to make
the indicator,
change.
Like the little white, yellow, or blue light that's on the top of the Xbox? I mean, Xbox. Woo! Sorry, guys. The top of the PlayStation?
Whoa. That's.
I'm guessing they didn't really... describe much. They just said there's going to be a difference in the touchpad.
Hmm.
Okay.
And so there's going to be a light behind it.
Probably just be a light indicating that either... Maybe it's going to be for like games that actually use the touchpad. It'll light up just pretty much indicating that you do use it or something like that. Or
maybe.
Use it for certain things. Or maybe it just lights up whenever you do touch it. You know, maybe it's... It could
I'm
be
not
different
sure. They
things.
Didn't,
the
they didn't really
conference.
Have any details. Yeah.
Okay. And you said that conference is next month in September?
It's in September 7th.
Yeah.
September 7th.
So if you're looking at getting a PlayStation, you might want to hold off and wait until after September 7th and you find out whether or not there's going to be a Slim that's going to be cheaper than buying a current PlayStation. And no, I'm not saying that so the Xbox can get more sales in August as well.
You know, actually pretty funny too that from when you were saying that Xbox outsold PS4 in July.
Mm-hmm.
Because 3DS actually outsold both of them that month.
Oh, really?
That's awesome.
Yeah. I'm guessing it's the Pokemon Go craze.
It hit
at the beginning of that month, and then next thing you know, 3DSs are selling out the window.
Yeah, I think we talked about something about that whenever we first talked about Pokemon Go, that there would be a resurgence of the rest of the Pokemon games, you know. So it was, you know, perfect timing for that release.
Yeah, it was pretty much like perfect timing. There couldn't have been more like a better time for that, just because it worked so well. It got me to buy one. Like I couldn't find one for the life of me though. Like I was looking.
You bought a 3DS for Pokemon recently?
Yeah, that's exactly why I bought it. Really.
Oh, I thought you had already had that.
No. I looked for one high and low, and I could not find it.
Also, PlayStation Plus is going up by $10 in price. Ooh. For a year. So it will be $49.99. No, $59.99. Yes.
Yeah, it's raising from $49.99, so it's a $20 price raise.
So if you're looking at getting a new PlayStation 4, wait for...
No, it's 10.
Wait for next month to buy the game console, but maybe go buy a card now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Yep, it's going to be the same price as Xbox.
Yep.
For the
now
years,
what, PlayStation fans?
What you got?
I'm gonna move on out of the PlayStation thing. Unless we got anything else going on there.
We might as well get some pizza and call this PlayStation a pizza.
Yeah, no, we're doing their job.
Chris Garth can take the week off. All right, so throw a little Xbox info in here. It appears that starting on August 23rd, so tomorrow as we're recording this, probably earlier in the week as you're listening to this, there will be two new Xbox One S consoles available with different bundles. We already know that the 2-terabyte version launched in August for $399.99. But there is going to be a Halo collection that is launching with a 500 gigabyte hard drive, which will retail for $299.99, so a $300 box.
Oh, that's cheap.
That comes with a digital copy of the Master Chief Collection and a physical copy of Halo 5 Guardians.
Nice.
But it does not include the vertical stand that the 2-terabyte version has. So apparently if you want to, you know, mount it vertically, you're either going to have to pay for the stand separately or shell out the money for the 2-terabyte version.
I bet the stand is $50 on its own.
Is it $50 on its own?
I bet it is. I don't know. I'm just taking a guess from past Microsoft prices. No.
There is an in-between option that's coming out as well, and that's a 1-terabyte Madden 17 Xbox One S bundle, which will retail for $349.99 and comes with a 1-terabyte hard drive. But it also does not include the vertical stand. So apparently Xbox wants you to buy 2 terabytes if you want to sit your Xbox vertically.
If that's your thing.
Me, I leave mine laying down like they're VCRs or, you know.
Yep.
Where it's safe. It's
too risky.
Yes. Yes. I have a 5-year-old for crying out loud. If I stood something up, it'd be shattered in 5 seconds.
There you go.
I'm clumsy, so I would shatter it myself. So.
I don't trust
everything
myself.
Stays laying down.
That's the advantage of having a child, is you get to blame the child for stuff that you would do yourself. So.
Damn it!
Yeah.
Now I gotta buy a new one.
And they've done that with a 360. I learned the hard way.
With my 360, I did keep it vertical, but I kept it tucked in right next to the TV. So there was a space on my entertainment center between my TV and the wall, and I just kept it tucked right there.
Well, mine never like fell all the way over, but I knocked it, and there was a disc in it.
Oh, I bet that made a horrible sound.
Well, yeah, and it scratched the disc all the way around, and then GameStop was like, we don't cover that. And I was pissed because it was Borderlands 2, and it had just come out. So I paid $65.16 for it, and they're like, nope, no can do.
Where's your game doctors at, GameStop? What happened to those?
That's when you take it over to Walmart and exchange it at Walmart, because they'll exchange anything.
Just about. I get shocked to this day whenever I go to like Walmart or like Target or something like that, and I see they have used pre-owned games or something like that. I'm like, how does that work? Like, I never knew they actually did stuff like that.
They don't. They buy them from other companies that have too many of them. So they buy them and repackage. So.
Do they really? I thought they took used games.
Yeah, I didn't know that they did that. That's actually interesting.
A lot of those times when there's too many games, like of one particular type that hits the market real fast, places like GameStop will sell them extras that they have and put them out for sale, and companies can pick them up and then sell them as used items in their place. So.
That is odd.
Well, since you laid us some of that knowledge about the bundles that it's going to be offering with the Xbox One S, I'm actually going to segue off of that here and actually let off some news about the Scorpio. Now, we already know that the Scorpio is going to be able to, you know, it's 4K compatible, it's supposed to be able to handle the whole virtual reality thing, and it's going to have the 6 teraflops, all of that stuff pretty much working for it. It's going to be what Microsoft calls a premium product.
Right.
Now, they are already suggesting that PC gamers tend to spend thousands of dollars on a 4K compatible gaming rig. You know, no problem, no one even bats an eyelash at it, you know, that's just normal. If you got the money, by all means, you know, buff up your rig. But this is also suggesting that the Scorpio's price would probably be like around $1,000.
Nope.
So double the price around what, you know, the Xbox One was originally released. And they did say, though,
I'd rather get that the computer.
Your controllers and everything, games are all going to work on this console. Same with the PS4 whenever they do their console to, you know, the Neo and everything to compare with this. It's all going to be backwards compatible. Your controllers will work for it and everything like that. But what about this $1,000 price tag that is a possibility?
I honestly don't see it as a possibility, because if it is being done as a possibility, it is being done specifically to push gamers toward a PC, because at that point you might as well go ahead and buy a PC. You
might as well, yeah. I mean, you're going to be able to do the same thing, probably even cheaper, and at your own, like, you can do it the way you want.
Yeah, they said that to be able to run a 4K, you have to, you know, there people are spending thousands of dollars. It's like, I may not be able to get the best running. I mean, I can probably make a 60 frames per second 4K in the $800 to $900 range.
Yeah.
And so
we've got a really nice PC for $800.
Yeah, you know, so I think that's an over-exaggeration. So I really don't see them hitting that. Me and a buddy were talking, and we're in the belief that it's going to be between $600 and $700, just because of the you know, it is a premium system, and I think they'll be able to get away with something like that. But so many people threw a fit about, you know, $500 on the Xbox, and between the Xbox and the PlayStation, those were the most powerful consoles the world had ever known at that point.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't
2 years down the line, they're already like pretty much running behind, just because some games can't run them the way they would want. So they had to like kind of like dumb the game down a little bit just for those consoles. Hence why we're getting these consoles.
So yeah, I don't think that they're gonna do that. I mean, just because that's gonna, I think that would kill the project before it's even left.
I know some people will pay for it. I mean, regardless, there's always gonna be those people that'll pay for, you know, whatever's thrown at them, but.
Some people have $800 to drop.
Yeah.
But most people don't.
I know.
What I think they're going to do, they're going to start out at... Yeah. They're going to start out at $800. In 2 months, they're going to realize they've sold maybe 100 consoles. Okay, like 1,000, let's be realistic. And then they'll have to price drop, just like they always do.
it'll probably drop down to at least around the original Xbox One price tag, or 5 or 6, I think.
And
I'm saying it'll be
$750 to $800
is what I'm guessing. That's my guess.
It's going to have to price drop, though, eventually.
It will have to, yeah.
Well, there's always that rule that you... I mean, I realize as gamers this is a rule that none of us obey, but really, if you look at the way launches always go with new consoles, you really don't want to buy the console day one. I mean, yes, I know we all want to buy the console game day one, but once we get it, we have nothing but, you know, crying and frustration over getting it to work.
Yeah. Red Ring, for instance.
Yep.
Big issue.
A lot of friends that I knew that had the Xbox One before I did, because I bought it when Titanfall came out. I bought the Titanfall bundle. So still $500, but it came with a game. They actually kind of refer to the Titanfall launch as the real launch of the Xbox One, because that's when everything became available. Up until that point, there was like almost no accessories available for it.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, the idea is, you know, give it 6 months, and you're probably going to be looking at least a cheaper console, if not a console that comes bundled with more than what the original did. Plus, they will have had that 6 months of having it out in the field to get things smoothed out.
Yeah.
You're really not going to miss much, so.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I got the day one edition of the Xbox One, and really nothing different, but, like, from that to what, you know, the Xbox came out before, the only thing different is it had a little tiny encoded thing on the front of the controller that said day one. That's about it.
Yeah.
I got a special black box. Ooh. But I didn't even get it for... The only reason why I bought that console that I wanted it at first was Killer Instinct. So that was my Killer Instinct machine for the longest until, like, Titanfall came out. Like, I bought... I got Dead Rising 3 and Killer Instinct was pretty much the games I purchased on day one. And those are the only games I played, like, for a while, and, like, until Titanfall came out, and then I got that. And that's pretty much all I played on there.
So, yeah, in conclusion, I'm going to say I think $1,000 is out of reach.
Yeah.
For most gamers.
Oh, yeah. So, like you said, you're better off just going PC if that's the case.
Yeah.
Microsoft more than likely making money either way.
Yeah. If that's what happens, y'all remind me and I will do some searches across multiple websites and I will put together a computer package that and let you guys know where to go find the pieces and you can put together your own computer that will be just as good.
That would be helpful.
Yeah. So.
But going on to another Xbox-related news topic, September's Games with Gold, they have released one of the titles that will be available on September 1st, and that is actually a fantasy-based RPG. It's going to be a turn-based fantasy RPG, and it's called Earthlock, Festival of Magic.
Hmm.
Based on like the artwork and everything like that, it actually looks interesting. But, that will be available the first day of September, so very soon. So if RPGs are your thing and you want something for free, here you go. This should be right up there for you.
I always grab everything. Well, except for the WWE thing. I haven't grabbed that because I'm not a wrestling fan.
I'm not either, but I think it would be something fun to play with, like, people. Just because you can make your own ring, you make your own people, stuff like that. But we downloaded it, and we tried to play it. The network wasn't working. The network is down or something like that. So I was like, oh, that's fun.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, perfect. Then I just uninstalled it. I was like, let me know when it's fixed.
Hey, here's something. If you're putting it up for free, there's going to be a lot of people that download it. Get ready.
Get ready, exactly. I was like, yeah, that's probably exactly why. That was my first initial thought. I was like, this game probably got some attention and everything like that. It had, you know, steady service for a little while, and then it became free. And then everyone started downloading it. They're like, oh, no, let's just have fun. Let's play around on this. Multiplayer, let's do that. Then servers just go to crap.
Servers are like, half the population of the world is trying to log on.
that just doesn't hold up if you're not prepared for it. I've played too many games where that's been a case, and it's easier for some people to handle it. Some just can't.
Yep.
Especially if you're not prepared for bandwidth. It. Do it. I just think that game, I mean, it would be fun just to play messing around. I wouldn't play it like, play the story mode or franchise mode or whatever like that. And they're a good workout for your forearms. A lot of button mashing to where you have to, like, you know, just outbeat someone by button taps, like Gears of War chainsaw battles and stuff. Spamming B. Which I can't wait for.
I want to play a wrestling game.
No, go download
2K. We should play. That would be a lot of fun. Well, can you have more than two people?
You can have a full ring of people. But you just got to remember the servers are down, so it's not really much we can do there with that. You can play the franchise mode and make a character and stuff like that if you want. That is the thing. You're able to like create a character, create a diva, superstar, whatever. You can create a belt, a ring, all that stuff. Yeah, I think you could even create like your own like pay-per-view type of thing, like event and stuff.
Oh, really?
I think so.
That's funny.
Yeah, they got you. From what you can see, they give some pretty good like details of like what your character is involved with, their story and stuff like that, what their like special move is, but they don't really give you good customization options. There's not really many, and most of them, there's like a full page of just stuff that's already worn by, you know, known wrestlers and stuff like that, which I thought was kind of eh.
Yeah.
But for being free, it's fun.
It's free. You can't beat free.
Yeah.
I'd rather jump on the DC Online and play superheroes.
Yeah, there you go. I tried that for a little bit. I had more fun with the character creator than I did with the game. I usually always have more fun with creating options like Call of Duty's multiplayer. I have more fun with Emblem Creator than anything.
Oh yeah.
I can make all kinds of stuff in there. Yeah. I learned the little tips and tricks of how to make stuff in there, so I always try to make something cool. Especially when you learn how to shade, that gets pretty interesting after that.
Very cool.
Alright, well, I'm all out of topics because this week was pretty dry. Since we kind of had a late start on last week's episode, and we actually got to get all the Gamescom news out of the way. We knocked that out already.
We stole Gamescom from this podcast.
Yeah, and we're suffering from it. Oh, no.
I'm tapped out on topics, too.
Julie, you're making a face like you got to. You're just playing with the laser pointer. Yeah, she's playing with her laser. Blind our viewers. Yeah. Listeners, you're okay.
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
Ooh, it looks cool.
Yeah, you're going to mess up your camera by doing that.
This phone is trash.
Yeah, you're.
Will it really mess the camera?
It can, yeah. I'm going to laugh because it's like reflecting into your glasses.
Yeah, that's what I see it reflecting in her face.
Oh, backfire! You got to shoot your eye out. Actually, your camera's been like doing like color splash this whole time, like every now and then.
Yeah, because it's changing the color of the background light for.
Yeah, your hair is usually all that stays the same color.
My skin is paper white.
Not right now, it's not. Oh, God, cat.
Attack of the cat!
I didn't think she'd attack my head.
So, Julia, since you weren't here last week, is there anything you caught from Gamescom that you're excited about? You haven't been
like asleep for a week. No. No, I've been. This week at work has just been like so tiring. I've barely been on the internet.
It's all good. We'll save all our energy for next week's episode.
Sounds like a plan.
Hopefully next week I'll be awake.
No, it'll be all right. We'll just cut this one short since we didn't have that much news topics and everything. Like I said, the most exciting thing for me was that Allison's Road's back on track. So
we need to play Countdown.
We need more people. We need Chris or someone to join. It's not really fun when there's just two people doing it.
Oh.
I'd be glad to do it.
Blocking my light. Move. Blocking my light.
But, as once Chris has always said, conversation does not have to end here. You can go to Facebook.com/group/GamerKate and let us know what's going on with your gaming experiences, what you think of the show. Let us know some topics and suggestions you would like us to talk about next week's episode.
Yeah, if you have any questions that you want to ask us, throw it down there.
Yeah.
Brett, didn't you have some updates with
Puns and Pints.
Just a little one. Puns and Pints, I think I mentioned last week, have been completely funded. They reached their $10,000 goal. A video that they posted, I think it was yesterday, might have been earlier today, shows them up at over $13,000. Still, I think, 15 so days left to go on it. And so we're trying to get like a last-minute push for people that if you haven't done your donation yet and you're wanting to get in on it, get in on it now. If you have donated, they're asking for people to consider the possibility of upping their donation. They're trying to really get past the $15,000 mark because right now they're set up to be able to do bottled beer and drip coffee and sodas, and what they really want to be able to do is have draft beer, and they want to have an espresso machine to be able to do more espresso drinks instead of just coffee.
That'd be cool.
Plus, they're going to try to...
I love espresso.
They are going to open up with at least 500 games, which they're also considering the concept. If they can get enough money, they will go through and they will increase the game library and have more than 500 games there to start off with.
Nice. So,
which I have already done a donation for that. I've donated him a copy of Mint 10 Mini Apocalypse.
Oh, you can donate games?
I did, just because I was up there and the game's creator had sent me a bunch of games to use with the Extra Life. And so I went over to them and donated them their own copy of that so they would have it.
Nice. Cool.
Which is actually the kind of perfect kind of game for that kind of an area. But yeah, so if you guys are considering it, really.
So they only need $2,000
more? $2,000 more to reach that stretch goal. They have stretch goals on up the line, like any good Kickstarter does. But they are funded. Now they're trying to reach stretch goals, and if they can reach some of these stretch goals, be just that much better of an experience in there. So, hop on over to Kickstarter, check out Puns and Pints. That was one of the things that they were saying. It's like, we want draft beer. It's in the name of our store. One would think if you got a name like Puns and Pints, you could go in there and order
a pint.
Got
to have that boulevard.
So, they're planning on having lots of stuff from local breweries and such.
So then, that'll be there, if that's the case.
Yeah.
Gotta have Boulevard.
So, they just would like to be able to do draft as well as the bottles.
Makes sense.
Because most people, they would rather go out to a bar and get a draft than they would a bottle, so.
I would.
Tastes better out of a tap.
Me, I'll just be happy with the coffee and the... and soda, but hey,
that's yeah.
Exactly. Just because I'm almost a teetotaler doesn't mean anybody else has to be.
Any more updates on anything with the Extra Life or anything?
Not at the moment. We are planning on being back down at Puns and Pints for the next first Friday. I've got to get with Ed about when everything's getting set up there. So if they are having it again at Puns and Pints, then I will be there. So if you guys are going down to First Friday and swing by Puns and Pints, since they're right there, come in, find me in the back with the Extra Life stuff and say hi. But other than that, at the moment, no. For the most part, we've got stuff coming up for Renfest in October. We're going to be there one weekend for RenFest. And I think we're pretty much out of a lot of the big stuff. I think we had a couple minor things coming up that I'll post up on the Facebook page.
Was there any more on that Pixel Pop or whatever that was?
I haven't heard anything else about it, but I can gladly give you guys the information again. It's called the Pixel Pop Festival. It is October 8th and 9th this year at the St. Louis Science Center. It's a celebration of games and game development. They are going to have meet and greets with developers, and they're going to have demos of indie games and some tournaments for indie games too.
Nice.
So if you're one of our St. Louis listeners, that's in your neck of the woods, Kansas City. Seriously, it's what, 4 hour trip? Not even 4 hours.
It's like 5 or 6.
It's like 4 or 5 hour trip. That'd be good.
I don't know. I get out on I-70, and so it doesn't take me 6 hours. Okay, it might if I have to take my son in the car. I don't drive as insane with him in the car. But then it's also going to be at the Science Center, so you'll also have the ability to go through the Science Center, which is pretty cool. Me and Steph went there 6 years ago, and we thought it was pretty awesome. But they have a website that's just pixelpopfestival.com, just all one word rolled together. They have a very colorful card. I'm actually considering heading out there just to check it out and maybe taking a camera and shooting us an episode, because I think that would be kind of neat place to get to meet some of the developers and stuff.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
And there's supposed to be stuff up there about how to get into the game design business, if that's what you're wanting to do. So
yeah,
and I haven't ever met a gamer who didn't want to be a game designer.
Yeah, you know? I know, right? I've always wanted to, just because I've been in art and everything, so that's always been like right up there with priorities of something I would love to do with it. So,
yep,
gaming's always been there.
So, clear your schedule, head out there on the 8th and 9th of October.
Right on. Yeah, like I said before, you can reach us at facebook.com/group/gamercade. You can also reach us at our Twitter and YouTube at gamercade1986. And if you want to listen to this episode and any previous episodes and also our other cast, PlayStation and Pizza, you can go to our website at gamercade.squarespace.com. Or if you want to listen to it on the go or anything like that, you can go to Podomatic or gamercade.podomatic.com. You can find all of our episodes there as well. And Brett, where can these lovely listeners find you?
On Twitter, on Instagram, on Xbox Live, on PlayStation. Have I missed anything?
I don't think so.
Okay. Oh, Twitch. On Twitch also. Ah. I am Nightfire, KnytFyre. Yes, there you go, Julia. Part of every episode. But yeah, everything is the same. So, and then, of course, on Facebook, I'm just by my name, Brett Bachman.
Right on. Julia, what about you, if you're not too busy with that laser pointer?
Put the laser down.
Lower the laser.
Xbox and PlayStation, I'm Fairly Rad. On Instagram, I am Mama Delgato. I don't use Twitter because I'm boring. And on Facebook, it is just my name. And if you can't find my name, just look up Mama Delgato.
Brett, you should have been in like a Powerade commercial. That was like legit. I was waiting for you to like start doing the whole Gatorade thing and start sweating blue.
That's some good stuff.
That's good stuff. Anyways, you can find me on Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram at YokuHXE, and if you want to play any games with me, you can reach me on Xbox One and PlayStation 4 at Yokozuma666.
Did I tell you my credit score was 666?
Awesome!
No, that's cool.
Demonic credit.
Yeah, I've never checked my credit score, and I checked it last week, and it was 666.
You're like, right on. I'm not touching that.
I got a screenshot of it. No, I made a payment after that, and it went up to 7-something, but...
Oh, drag.
I know. I did get a screenshot. I'll have to show you. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, you'll have to
show. You're like, damn it, why'd I pay that on time?
I know. Fuck, I should have let it run.
Yeah, well, that's been enough. Well, not enough. That's been the time for episode 56 of the Gamescast. And until next time, guys, would you like to say it?
Game on!
Game on, guys. Take care.